Well, Father, thank you so much for today. And now, Father, as we turn the corner and we begin to look at your word, I pray, Father, if there is someone here today who doesn't know the peace, Jesus, that you offer, they don't know the peace that they can have with you, I pray that you would awaken their heart today to know that peace. Father, if some people have lost their hope, maybe they live life now just based on a chance, not on any certainty. Jesus, I pray that you would speak to them as well. Lord, I pray all that we say and do will be pleasing to you. It's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Grace Kids, are you here? Do we have some today? Yeah, amen. That is awesome. We do have some Grace Kids here. Got a lot of people on Facebook that didn't want to swim today, so it's great. Great being able to have Facebook Live so people could join us regardless of where they are and what's going on. So that's a wonderful, wonderful thing as well. Well, I think if we were going to look at a word as we're landing the plane on 2018, I think if we were going to look for a word that would describe clearly America and describe every generation in America today, I think there's one word that unifies us, and it's the word stress. I mean, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, where you come from in life, it seems like that word's sort of going to permeate your vocabulary, and you're going to use it often, say it often, it's going to be said of you often, i.e., why are you so stressed, right? I mean, so that kind of stuff. So let's look at stress. Kids, younger ones, under the teenage year, they stress. They stress because of the fear of failure, fear of rejection, the fear of injury, the fear of the dark, the fear of monsters under their bed. Who's not scared of that? I am. All right? All right, and then once they become young adults, they get into the teenage and college years, they have fear of failure, fear of rejection, school expectations, parental expectations, peer pressures for drugs, sex, cheating, everything else. And as young adults, not getting into the right schools, getting into the wrong schools, hanging around the right people, hanging around the wrong people, all of these things cause stress. Then when you get to be an adult, it doesn't end. We get stressed about unmet expectations. Maybe we lived our life for 40 years working a particular job in a particular career, and at the end of it, it didn't really deliver what it promised on the front end. And so we're stressed because we know we can't go get those 40 years back. Nobody's been able to do that. By the way, if you ever decide and find a way to go back 40 years and do it over, would you let me know? Anybody signing up for that one, right? I mean, you know, man, we'd do a lot of things different, wouldn't we? As adults, we face the death of dreams. You have dreams and plans and visions when you're young. You look at things, you want to accomplish stuff. And there are times as you get older, you realize if you're rational, you realize that sometimes those dreams die. Yeah, but God said. Well, maybe didn't God say. And the dreams, and they die. Health concerns happen. Health concerns come up. You go to the doctor and there's concern. You go to test, there's concern. Everything, there's a concern. You get on Dr. Google and before you know it, you're calling the Undertaker. I'm going to be dead tomorrow. Stay off Google, right? I mean, it'll stress you out. And then you're stressed out because of retirement. It comes too early. It comes too late. Are we going to be able to make it? Are we not? Are we going to have enough money to make it through retirement? Let me go ahead and tell you no. So go back to work. I'm kidding. And then we have aging parents. Aging parents bring a whole host of issues. The parents who used to be sharp and keen in their mind and their behavior and their bodies now are broken and failing, and that brings a lot of issues. There's stress coming at us from every corner, and I don't know about you, but I just depressed myself. Stress. So what is stress? Well, studies say that 8 out of 10 people in America indicate that they suffer from stress. Stress, you can look at a lot of different ways. You can look at it sort of biologically or physiologically, and stress would be disrupting the homeostasis of a cell. That would be at the sort of the cellular level. But stress in a general sense is any kind of disruption. Anything that disrupts your normal thought, your normal life, your normal pattern, your normal life, your normal want-tos, anything that disrupts can be considered stress. And that's probably the easiest definition. Because here's what we all know in this room. If you have enough disruption, what follows disruption is destruction. That always happens. It happens in organizations. It happens in offices. It happens in life. You go into an office building right now. You go into an office room right now. And if there's a lot of disruption in there, I promise you they are going to be destroyed in the area of their efficiency, their effectiveness, and even depending on the context, their survivability. Disruption almost always leads to destruction. Always does. And stress is about disruption. It's about disrupting our lives in your life. So what's the antidote for disruption? What's the antidote for stress? Well, it's peace. Peace is the antidote. How many of you, the older you get, you like that word peace? When I was young, it didn't mean anything. Peace, that was peace, right? Hey, what's up? Right, that was peace. Peace, what's up? You know, you have a peace sign, put it on your car, wear it on a tie-dye. Woo-hoo, peace, what's happening? But then I got older, and it moved from a peace sign to a desired reality in my life. Right? You get older, and you want peace to be true. You come home, and you want peace. My mother, I didn't get this when I was a kid, but my mother really wanted two more kids, peace and quiet. Are y'all with me? Did your parents ever want peace and quiet? I mean, I'm telling you, they was always looking for peace and quiet. I'm like, ah, they don't live here. God, you got boys, Mom. I mean, you know, when you have boys, you're not going to have peace and quiet. There were four boys in my family. Peace and quiet was not going to live in our house. I can just tell you, that wasn't going to happen. But peace. So we come together at Advent. We come together at the time where the Christian church sets aside this time to remember the coming of Jesus. And that's what we do. We don't deify a day, but we celebrate an event. The event was Jesus Christ came to earth roughly 2,000 years ago. And he came to earth to bring a host of realities to earth. But at this time of year, we just focus on a couple. One is hope. We talked about hope last week. Hope, biblical hope, is not I wish. You know, I hope. That's the way the world sees it. Hope means I wish. I hope the Jags win, right? We talked about that. We all agreed it was an empty hope. So, all right, and I'm bummed out. But anyway, there's always next year. Woohoo! Nobody's with me on next year. That's not good. All right, so I mean, there's always hopefully next year for the Jags, right? That's worldly hope, right? That's earthly hope. Biblical hope means expectation. It means you expect it to be true. Whenever you read the Bible and you see the word hope, it's not, I wish, I'm sticking my finger in the air, I hope the wind blows my direction. That is not biblical hope. Biblical hope is a certainty. It's an expectation. It's a belief. It's a reality. When the prophets prophesied of Jesus and the Messiah, and they talked about the hope of Israel, it was a certainty that was to come. It wasn't a desire, or maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. It was an expectation. Didn't know when, right? Didn't know the events surrounding it. But they knew that Christ would come, that the Messiah would come. And that would be the hope, the certainty of Israel's salvation and the salvation of the world. So, we talked about hope. Today, we talk about peace. We talk about, because hope is certain in Christ, peace is possible for you. Here's what the Bible says. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And those of you who know Handel's Messiah, you can start singing this in your head, right? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. You know what it means to be the Prince of Peace? It means to be the controller of it. It means to have authority and rule over peace. It means that peace is something that the Lord can give. He can restrain. He is the author of peace. It means he is in control of who he gives peace to and what peace looks like. Over in the book of Psalms, here's what the psalmist said. The psalmist says that the Lord blesses and gives strength to his people, and he blesses his people with peace. So here's the reality that faces us today. Boy, this is great news. It's good news for me. I hope it is for you. Regardless of your circumstance, regardless of your situation, regardless of what you, regardless of how people have disappointed you, regardless of how people have injured you and damaged you and said bad things about you, you can rise above it and have peace. Why? Because the Prince of Peace, Jesus, it says in Scripture, gives to his people strength and peace. The older I get, the more I understand that I need the peace of the Lord. Because every day you walk out of your house, the world is dedicated to everything other than the peace of God. The world is just not dedicated to that. And it can't be because it doesn't understand it. People without Christ don't understand what it means to have the peace of God. They just don't get it. And so warring and fighting and fussing and causing disruption is normal for everyone beyond your doors that don't know Christ. Well, what is the problem? The problem is we're in a fight. We're in a fight every day to maintain the peace of God in our life. Things slip in and sneak in, and they seek to rob us of that peace. Things like death and our days. You don't have to be old. You don't have to have some birthdays to know that death and the shortening of your days can happen. All of us in this room have lost friends and loved ones. We know that it comes in just a moment. Death and days are something that are going to cause us some disruption of our peace. We wake up in the morning and again we get on Google and, you know, we start looking, and before we know it, our peace is gone because we have everything. Oh, I got that symptom. I've got that symptom. I had that symptom last week. And before we know it, we have, you know, stuff they only have in the darkest reaches of the Amazon, but somehow you got it, right? And our peace is gone in that process. Some of us look back during this time of year, and we have some time this time of year. It gets busy, sure, with shopping and that kind of stuff, but we also get some time off of work, time off of school, so we have a little bit of time to reflect. And we look back maybe over the last year, 2018, and if we're honest, some of us would say, sort of made a mess of that one. 18 was sort of messy. Then you look back over 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 years, and you go, man, I've racked up a pretty messy life. Is there any way to make sense out of the mess? And as we begin to look at that, our peace can go. And then finally, fear. Be afraid of everything. There's some of you sitting here afraid of everything. Afraid of the dark, afraid of the light, afraid of outside, afraid of inside, afraid of driving, afraid of not driving, afraid of stopping at a gas. I had I counseled a person not at this church, at a different church, who was afraid to go to the gas station because they really believed that the gas pumps were going to blow up. Paralyzed. Wouldn't go and get gas. Paralyzed by fear that the pumps were going to blow up. I had no words of encouragement. I'm kidding. We work through it. Fear. So what does the Prince of Peace, Jesus, what does he have to say about these areas? How can he address these areas of concern that we all have to bring peace into our life? Turn to Psalm 139, if you will. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 139 or your device. Psalm 139, verse 16. The Bible says this. It's David, and he's praying. He says to the Lord, Lord, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book, Lord, were written every one of them, all of my days. The days that were formed for me, when as yet there was not one of them. I have great news for you today. Your life is ordained by God. There is a God bigger than you, greater than you, stronger than you, who loves you more than you've ever dreamed of or imagined, who has ordered your days. Your days are ordered by the Lord. I used to have a fear of flying. I used to hate to fly. And I had a job years ago where I had to fly a lot and didn't go well together. And I was just afraid of flying. And I heard a guy tell a joke on it once, a preacher. He said he was flying and he was sitting next to a nun. And the nun was in her habit and everything. And so they were talking. He noticed the nun was praying and doing the Hail Marys and the Our Fathers and was working it. And he just calmly put his hand on the nun's hand and said, Sister, said, why are you so scared? She said, I just have this horrible fear of flying. I just can't handle it. I hate to fly. And the pastor's name was Tony. He says, but sister, you know, the Lord says he's with you always. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is with you. And the sister looked at him and said, that's not what he said. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. And so she flew with fear. But I had fear of flying. But someone reminded me very clearly that I am somewhat invincible, bar stupid, and everybody's one step from stupid, right? Bar being just really irresponsible, right? If we do the right things, that we're here according to the days God has for us. He's numbered our days. Now, there is reality. If you go jump off a building, you can short-circuit that, and then the theologians are going to get together and argue, was that preordained or not, you know? I don't know. You heard about the Calvinist who fell out of bed, broke his arm. He got up and said, glad that's over. Get it? It was preordained. Okay, anyways. It's a theology joke, right? It's a theology joke, right? Anyway. Hey, it's just us today. I can do this. I can tell all my bad Calvinist jokes, all right? But we get scared of death and days because at this time of year, we remember. We gather around the tree, we eat our Christmas meal, and we remember those who aren't with us, those who will never be with us again. Remember those that the Lord has called home. You've heard me talk often about my mother, and I'm sorry, I'll talk about her until my days are done. If you've lost your mom, you get what I'm saying, that you never get over that. That's something you never walk away from. You learn to live with it, learn to accept it. God gives you peace through it, but you still miss them. I remember laying in the hospital bed next to my mom at the University of Alabama Birmingham Hospital, and I remember she was dying of pancreatic cancer. And reading the scriptures, I came to Psalm 139, one of my favorite psalms in all the Bible. Maybe in 19 I'll preach on it, and you'll see why, because it contains so much great stuff. And I came to this part where it says that your days are numbered. They're written in a book. And I knew that my mom's days were ticking down, and it was going to be over. But because I understand the hope that is in Jesus Christ, the certainty, the reality that is found in Him, it produces a peace that even through the darkest chapter of my life to date, I was able to walk through it. Amen. And get to the other side. And I'm not that special. Listen to me. God loves you just like He loves me. He provides that peace for you just like He will for me. I'm not special. He loves you that much. If you're going through a dark time, a time that is bleak, a time where it feels like the darkest night of your soul, where it's just, there's nothing that provides any type of life or satisfaction, I promise you this, the peace of Christ is real. The Prince of Peace can bring peace into your life, can bring joy into your life, can change your life, and we're going to talk about how to do that in just a minute. If you're here today and need that, I promise you it's offered to you. No doubt about it. Well, what happens when we get to the point and we look back and we say, man, sort of made a mess of it this year. Made some bad calls, made some bad choices, done some dumb things, charted a road and a course that's really bad. Maybe you look back not just on this past year, but you look back over several years and you're thinking, oh, that's bad. You know, am I ever going to make this right? Remember what the Prince of Peace spoke through the Apostle Paul in Romans 8:28. For God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. In other words, he can make meaning out of a mess. He can take a mess and bring unbelievable meaning into your life. It won't be easy. It'll be hard. The journey will be rough. It won't be smooth. There'll be tears and there'll be grief and there'll be mourning because it's a mess. Messy things are messy. But at the end of the day, there could be meaning and purpose that's transcendent. There can be peace in the middle of the mess. There can be. Maybe you look back and you made a job change and you shouldn't. Maybe you look back and a relationship shifted or changed and it shouldn't have. Maybe you look back and you retired a few years earlier than maybe you should have, and you're wondering how all that's going to fit together. Maybe you look back and you think of harsh words that you said to someone over the past year, and you're still reeling with the results of that, and you're just, man, how do you fix that? Man, you know, words are like toothpaste, right? Once you squirt them out, you can't put them back, right? And they have an effect. And so you just sort of wonder, can anything bring meaning to the mess? If you're God's today, if you know the Prince of Peace, Scripture promises He can make meaning out of the mess. He really can. You're saying, how's He going to do that? Don't know. When's He going to do it? Not sure about that either. How long will it take? Don't have a clue. But I know who does. And it is the Prince of Peace. The God who rules and reigns can bring that peace into your life, can bring that meaning out of the mess. Then finally, fear. It's funny, if you look at the list of all the age groups of people that struggle with stress, and this is broken down on the internet, you can find it everywhere, the one common denominator, or one of the major common denominators, is the issue of fear. It's the issue of fear. I mean, it is about fear. Listen, everybody struggles at some level, at some point, at some time, with some fears. Kids struggle with fears. High school kids, college kids, young adults, middle-aged adults. Boy, that painful to say. Gah, that one hurt, right? When you have to start saying middle age, you know, because you have more years in the rearview mirror than you do the windshield, right? Anybody with me on that? You sort of have to admit that. And fears start to come in. Fears come in at every stage. They come in with the kids, like we mentioned earlier. Kids afraid of the dark, afraid of the monster under the bed, afraid of the tire swing, afraid of the kid down the street, afraid of whatever. I mean, fear starts then. Then you grow. And fears change, but they stay. And then you get older. And you would think rational thought would cause you to get away of all the fears, right? Just rational, reasonable thought. You should be able to push the fears away. But then you get afraid of everything. Going to the doctor, not going to the doctor. You start looking at your life and start looking at your health and you start looking at everything going on and you get scared. Then if God blesses, you have kids. And then you, as a parent, you have a whole other host of things to be afraid of. Parents, can I get at least an amen on that one? I have a son who lives in Tampa, the absolute worst city in America to drive in. How many people have driven in Tampa? I'm telling you, it's the worst. I've driven in Atlanta. I've driven in Dallas. I've driven in Fort Worth. I've driven in Detroit. I grew up in Detroit. And I am telling you, Tampa is horrible to drive in. And Carson could tell you, every day, buckle your seatbelt, watch before you turn out. It's like, Dad, 19, I understand all this. Been doing this for years. Stop it! But I'm a dad. And sometimes you have fears. Sometimes you worry. Dads, are you with me? Because we're not there to fix it. We're not there to protect. Fears happen. How does all this work? How do we change this? How does it happen? How do we get rid of the fears? Proverbs 18:10 says this. Check this out. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. If you're here today and you have fears, you can run to the Lord, and I promise you, he will give you strength and safety in the times of fear. You will know the Prince of Peace because you've run to the right place. So what does that mean? How do we run into the Lord? That sort of weird language. How does that work? Okay, I got some suggestions for you today, and this is how it works. First of all, very important, you've got to know Christ. You just got to know him. You can't know about him. You got to know him personally. What does that mean? That means you have to have come to the place in your life where you've said to the Lord, hey, Lord, it's me. I'm a sinner, and I'm separated from you, and I'm really sorry. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you resurrected from the grave, and right now I place all my faith and all my trust in you alone. Please forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. I confess them to you. Change my heart and my life right now. I want a relationship with you. You have to start with a relationship. You have to. No way else. You can know. Listen, you might ace all the Jeopardy questions, right, and still not know the Lord. You got to know him personally. You just got to know him. And so you've got to come to that place where you declare him Lord of your life and you surrender yourself to him. You've got to come to that point. The second, you have to run to him every day. What does that look like? First of all, it starts with your practices. What practice do you have every day in your life that connects you with the Lord? Do you wake up and tip your hat, hey, God, thanks, I got it covered, and then you just go out and live your life? Or do you have some sort of practice that forces you to consciously, cognitively, with your awareness, connect with the Lord? I've told you mine. Mine isn't the only way. It's just the way that works for me. So I'll give you mine. If you don't have one, maybe you'll use mine. Maybe you'll find something better. You probably will. But here's mine. I wake up. First thing I do is I begin to pray the Lord's Prayer. And it's a model prayer. It's not a recitation of magic words that make everything okay. It's a model prayer, and I use it as a model. I preached on it last year. Don't expect you to remember. You won't hurt my feelings. All right, but I preached on it in 18, and it's a model on how you are to pray, and I use that as the model. It helps me, and then I do the Apostles' Creed. I personalize the Apostles' Creed, and I meditate on each phrase of the Apostles' Creed, and it helps focus my mind. Now, again, you might have a better way. Your way's probably better, but if you don't have a way, that's my way, and I'll tell you it helps. And so you have to have a practice. Second, it's going to be about your heart. As you go before the Lord every single day, and listen, this is what's amazing. Are you ready for this? You get to walk with the favor and the blessing of the Lord in 2019 if you'll do this. And listen, it'll take care of your fear. It'll take care of a lot of your struggles. Listen, God will bless you in amazing ways, and you get to walk with the favor of the Lord if you'll do this. First, you got to have practices that connect you. And then secondly, you have to look at your heart. Two things about your heart. You got to be honest. When you pray and when you seek the Lord on a daily basis, you got to be honest. You want the peace that comes through Christ, you have to be honest with him. You don't have an intimate relationship without honesty. There is no relationship that goes the distance without honesty. I mean, an earthly relationship, a heavenly relationship, you know, pick whatever you want. You've got to be honest. So when you go before the Lord, if things are miserable and you're scared, be honest. If you go before the Lord, Lord, got to go to the doctor and I'm scared. You're saying, well, Terry, that's a lack of faith. No, it's not. It's honest. Be honest. God, I'm scared. I'm going to the doctor. I don't know what this guy's going to say. I don't know if it's going to be right. The test might be positive. It might be negative. It might be a false positive. We all love false positives, right? They get you all excited and then over nothing, right? It might be that. I'm just scared. Would you help me? You got to be honest. You can't be honest with the Lord if you're not honest with yourself. Peace will always evade you and elude you because you won't have a place to run if you're dishonest. I'm 55 years old. I've had 2 heart attacks in 3 years, and I share that with you, not for any sympathy because I don't feel sorry for myself, but I feel sorry about it. It's just a fact. But I share it with you, one, for you to pray for me, and two, because I got to be honest. That's not good. When you look up the actuary tables, don't do it. I stopped looking at actuary tables. Start trusting the Lord, right? I don't want to look at that stuff. Oh, those guys are all negative, downer number guys. Yeah, don't want to deal with them, right? But, you know, 2 heart attacks in 3 years isn't, you know, this is something to celebrate. It's not great. Sometimes I get a little nervous, and I've got to go before the Lord and say, God, 2 and 3 years, you know, 2 out of 3. Great batting average, bad for your heart. I need some help. And he reminds me, my days were written in his book. The mess that my health is in, God can bring meaning into and out of. And the fear that I have can go away if I lean into him with honesty. And what he does for me, he'll do double for you because he loves you that much. Be honest with the Lord. You want 2019 to be different than 2018. You want the peace of Christ to reign in your heart in a supreme way. You got to be honest. Second, you got to be humble. You got to be humble. You just got to go before the Lord with a thankful spirit, with a humble spirit. That's what this means. Lord, I'm coming to you with all this issue, with all this honesty, but Father, I am going to surrender myself to you. I'm surrendering myself to your will and to your ways. I know you know what is best, and I surrender myself to you. That's what you got to do with your heart. And then lastly, two more things. You got to believe what the Bible says. You have to believe it. You have to believe it. You have to believe that God loves you. You got to believe that. When your feelings are contrary, believe the truth. When you feel fear coming into your life, you have to believe the truth. When you're worried or concerned or you're making a mess or you don't know what's going on, you have to believe the truth. You have to believe the Bible. Just have to believe it. When God says it, believe it. Don't seek a second opinion. Y'all are looking at me like, well, I seek second opinions. Don't! When you read something in the scripture, settles it. Leave it alone. Accept it. Believe it and walk on. Believe what the Bible says. And then finally, do it. Do it. Do what the Bible says. Now, some of you say, Terry, I read the Bible and there's a lot of it I don't understand. I'm with you. There's a lot of it I don't understand. But the parts I do understand are very clear, are very directive, and they give you clear marching orders. Do what you understand. If you do what you understand, God will take care of the rest. Do what you understand. Love God. Love others. Live generously. Forgive quickly. Build others. Seek their benefit over your own. Do what's clear and understand. If you want to run into the Lord, that strong tower, and find that protection and that strength and that peace, you have to have an honest heart, a humble heart. You got to believe the scripture. You got to do the scriptures. You have to have a relationship with the Lord. Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and the angels herald that there would be peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And it's possible today. It's possible for you to live a daily life of peace, to be at peace with yourself, to be at peace with the people around you, and to be at peace in a world that's really sort of counter most of what we believe. But it's possible to live at peace with that. It starts by knowing Him. And I pray that's true in your life. One final thing. When we talk about peace, we think peace is only given to people who elevate their lives to a particular status. They have a certain amount of income. They've reached a certain level in their job. Their kids are doing certain things. We think that peace is only given to those who can, you know, don't you love the car commercials where you know, they go outside and they've bought each other, you know, new Lexuses. Don't you love that? Yeah, we sort of think that's the only way for peace. Well, I'll have peace when my significant other buys me a new car, right? But we get the danger of this season is we get this image in our mind that the only way peace comes to us is when we can elevate to that level, when we can get to that point, when we can have all of that stuff. I promise you, peace is not found in something that is temporary. Everything that is made by the hands of men is temporary. Cars break. Windshields bust. Paint gets chipped. Tires get flat. Cars don't last. Houses don't last. We live in Florida. A well-placed hurricane can take care of all that. Amen? Peace that abides, peace that transforms, peace that stays with you, isn't brought around by temporary stuff. That kind of peace is only brought into your life by the person of Jesus Christ, the one to whom we celebrate. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, wants to bring peace to you, regardless of your situation, regardless of what's going on. And He'll bring it to you today if you'll let Him. Pray with me, please.